Have you ever felt like you were living just a B or B plus life? It's so dangerous to live that, more dangerous than a B minus or a C plus life, because when you're living a B or B plus life, you don't change it. You think it's good enough. Is it? I'm Susie Welch. I host a podcast called Becoming You. People think, okay, an A plus life is not available to me, but there is a way. We are all in the process of becoming ourselves. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody jump, jump, jump.
Yes, a good Wednesday one and all. Taz of the Moose with you. Happy hump day as we take you through on this Wednesday morning right up until 9 a.m. Eastern time. We've got Mike and Pete across the way. Bogus, your updates. We all come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Who found a better way to mortgage so you could focus on making your new house home? Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227.
Attention hotline fans.
That is your number to call. Ralph Russo, Associated Press, covers college football, will join us in hour number two. We'll also talk to Kenny Clark, Green Bay Packers defensive tackle, will join Taz and myself, hour number three. So a couple of good guests here on this Wednesday morning. What's going on, Taz? How you doing, bud?
Oh, I'm doing awesome, man. Yeah, it's great to have two guests on today. That's awesome. I'm looking forward to it. A spectacular Wednesday edition of Taz and the Moose with you, Mark Malusis.
All right.
Yeah, I'm locked in, man. I'm ready to rock and roll.
There you go. A lot to get into. Plenty to get into. We'll get into the sign-stealing, the athletic story surrounding the Houston Astros a little bit later on in the program. But we begin it, talk a little bit about the latest and greatest surrounding the college football playoff rankings. Round two came out last night. And following their victory over Alabama over the course of the weekend, LSU, a perfect 9-0, they're now your new number one team in the land, according to the selection committee, as they are a perfect 9-0. Ohio State is 2-9-0. Clemson moves from outside 5 to in at 3 at perfect 10-0, as they're just obliterating teams left and right now, and they seem to have found their rhythm for Dabo Sweeney. Clemson moves to 3. Georgia moves from outside to from number 6, moves all the way up to number 4, and Alabama drops from number 3 down to number 5 at 8-1. Oregon moves up to 6. Utah is 7-8-1. And then Minnesota, following their victory over Penn State, is at 9-0 for PJ Fleck. They are your number 8 team in the land. So there's your top 8 teams, Taz, as it got unveiled last night, your latest and greatest surrounding the college football playoff rankings.
Yeah, you know, I mean, interesting. I think there's several stories in it's definitely within the, let's just say, the top 13. Team sitting at 13th is an interesting one, and that's Baylor at 9-0. You know, and you were talking about Baylor yesterday here on our program. I think that's interesting that they're sitting 9-0 and they're at 13th. It's, you know, I understand strength of schedule. I get that. I get that. Obviously we'll discuss it. Georgia, I mean, I think that's the other story, sitting at 8-1 in that fourth spot. I'm not so shocked about that. I think a lot of people might think that Georgia's overrated or Georgia doesn't belong in that spot. And maybe Alabama belongs in that spot. We also discussed Oregon maybe being in that spot. Georgia, because it's the SEC. I mean, maybe that's why they're in that spot. I don't know. I mean, it's definitely a topic of, you know, to discuss for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I think Baylor has got their two most difficult games ahead of them, right? They come off the overtime victory over TCU, in which they did not look all that impressive, but Matt Rhule's done a remarkable job with that program from where it was. I mean, as bad of a spot as you could step into down in Waco, Texas, after the Art Briles era, and how that completely ran amok, and the sexual assault allegations and rape allegations and the like with players and former players down there at Baylor. He steps in now, and he has completely revitalized that program. But they've got, you know, in front of them, they've got Oklahoma and Texas.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, if they take care of business, I mean, Baylor's going to move right up, just as you saw the monumental leap by Minnesota following their victory over Penn State over the course of the weekend. They went from, you know, a team that was sitting there outside the top 10 to now a team that's sitting there at number 8. So, you know, Baylor, if I'm a Baylor Bear fan or, you know, part of that program or go attend that university, I got to think that as long as I take care of business, if I remain undefeated, things will take care of itself. I'm going to be there. I mean, I have a hard time thinking an undefeated team coming out of the Big 12 is going to be on the outside looking in when you look at the college football playoffs and not be one of the top 4 teams.
Could be, though. I mean, it could be. Only because, like you said, Big 12, you know, a lot of people scoff on Big 12, the lack of, as an overall, as a stereotype defensively with the Big 12. You know, there is that, you know, we've talked about that last year. I mean, there is that, little bit of, I'm not saying I agree with them.
Well, Oklahoma's been there.
Right, they have. I mean, with their offensive, like last year with
Well, they were there with Kyler Murray. They were there with Baker Mayfield.
You know, those are power plays. Now with Hurts, another tremendous player. I don't know. I'm just saying. And again, I'm not one of those guys. I'm kind of hate to be on the fence. You know, in like all jobs, you don't want to be on the fence. But I got to tell you, with the whole Big 12 plays no defense thing, I'm a little on the fence on that. I got to tell you, but I could see where if you're thinking about Baylor and you go into strength of schedule, if you're someone that says, you know what, they belong at 13th. Actually, you know, they someone could even say put them below 13th. I wouldn't do that because of some of the teams they've played, you know, and you know, when you're beating Rice, when you're beating, you know, Oklahoma State, or you know, they're not playing the power programs, but like you said, they will now, Oklahoma and Texas next. So, but their victory, was it this past week? This victory over TCU was a big victory on the road in three overtimes. I mean, I think for that, you got to tip your cap to them. To the Baylor Bears. So I'm sure it helped them get at that 13 spot, too.
Yeah, I have a hard time thinking that an undefeated Big 12 team is going to be out. I just don't see that happening. Then you'd have every right to scream if you're Baylor, because if Oklahoma was undefeated, there would be no way that they'd be let out. They'd be in, and they'd be all the way in. So I don't see that happening.
Hold on a second. You saying Oklahoma now or like last year?
No, I'm saying
Oklahoma now.
No,
if Oklahoma was undefeated and they weren't in the playoff, you're saying people would go crazy because...
Well, if Oklahoma was undefeated right now, they wouldn't be 13. They'd probably be number 4.
No, I'm saying hypothetics. I'm saying if you're saying a Big 12 team, but Oklahoma probably plays a little bit of a more difficult schedule, I would think, than Baylor.
Well, then we could go... I mean, if you want to play the game about difficult schedule, Alabama's played nobody.
I've been saying that for months.
No, I understand.
I understand. I mean offline. I've been telling people I know that Alabama fans, that same thing. I agree with you.
I understand that.
I agree.
But that's the point. Then it's just name recognition instead of what you've accomplished on the field.
My point is that
I don't think now they have to go undefeated and they have to beat Oklahoma this week and they're a 10-point dog to Jalen Hurts and the Oklahoma Sooners and that dream could come crashing down easily this Saturday. I mean, we could all see that with Jalen Hurts and the Sooners offensively they could do. But my point being is that if they go undefeated, Taz, I don't think they'll be out.
Okay.
I think they'll be in.
You're probably right.
Yeah. I don't think that you could argue a one-loss SEC team is more deserving than an undefeated, you know, a Big 12 team. But, I mean, that we'll find out. We'll see. I'd really be surprised and stunned if that is indeed the case. But they have to go undefeated, and they've got their most two difficult games right in front of them the next couple of weeks with Oklahoma and Texas. And then get to the other argument, which you mentioned in terms of, you know, Alabama being at 4. You know, that is to me Alabama's sitting at 5, but some say they should
be at 4.
Correct. Alabama, to me, is a team that should not be sitting there where they're sitting. They should be behind Oregon, for my money. I think Oregon, whose only loss of the year was their opening week loss against Auburn, a game that they should have won, had control of before you saw the Bo Nix come back for the Auburn Tigers, and that was a neutral site game. I believe that was down at AT&T Stadium. In Arlington, Texas. So I look at the Oregon Ducks, and you know, we could debate about schedules or we could debate about resumes. And I understand what Alabama's accomplished in terms of that program under Nick Saban. And we all have a healthy respect for what Saban and that coaching staff has done. But if you watch Alabama this year, in terms of the eyeball test defensively, they're nowhere near they once were, especially over the last 4 or 5 or 6 years where the defense kind of defined them as a football program. And, you know, I think Oregon's done more this year than Alabama's done. I can understand why Georgia's 4. I get it. You know, healthy respect for the SEC. I don't know if Georgia's necessarily as good this year as they were years gone by. They lost a lot of guys to the NFL draft. And I think it's been difficult for them and for Kirby Smart to replace those players with the same players of quality in that lineup on a down-in, down-out basis. I,
But you have no problem with them at four?
Right now, I don't.
I don't either.
But I can understand where someone would gripe at them being at four. I just don't think Alabama should be five.
Yeah.
I would have Alabama behind Oregon.
I agree on everything you just said right there. I definitely think Oregon should be ahead of Alabama. Oregon definitely has had played a better schedule. They have a better strength of schedule. You know, win-loss record on their schedule. And I don't know. I mean, it's Alabama. It's Nick Saban. It's a household name. I mean, if you turn any games on, you see Nick Saban on that commercial for whatever the insurance company's wearing a light blue blazer or whatever.
Yeah.
He's all over the thing.
Yeah,
it's a funny commercial. It's great. It's hilarious.
Yeah,
he's a star.
Progressive,
I think it is. Yeah. Yeah. It's awesome. I like Nick Saban.
Yeah.
I say it all the time here. But he's a massive star. You know, he's a big star. The program is a household name program. But Oregon, and I agree, and that kid, that quarterback Herbert's a really good player, top quarterback. He's going to be a top pick in the NFL. And they have definitely played better teams and battled. You know, playing Washington on the road and beating them 35-31 is a big deal. That's a good win. You know, getting a win over Cal 17-7 in the middle of October, that's a nice win. They lost to Auburn early in the year. Okay, that's what they lost to. You know, so, I mean, that's...
And that was a neutral site game.
In which they should have won
the game because they had a lead before, you know, they fell apart in the second half a little bit. And Bo Nix played very, very well down the stretch for Gus Malzahn and the Auburn Tigers. I guess my frustration is, and we all, you just ran through it at Alabama. I completely agree with everything you said. Now, the concern I have is, you know, when does name recognition, when do you look at it in terms of, you know, the college football playoff sell itself? You know, they really do.
Right,
I mean,
right.
If you're a college football fan and there's some areas in this country where college football reigns supreme, Tez, down south.
Right.
We know we get a lot of calls.
Sure.
Texas, SEC country. You go to the Midwest, Big Ten, you know, Michigan, Ohio, everything like that, where we broadcast from in the Northeast in New York. You know, college football doesn't reign supreme, right?
Right.
It's not that huge of a storyline because there's no great Division I program in the area. Even when Rutgers was really, really good, you know, they were kind of, you know, they were a nice story.
Right.
But
they were making noise. They were making noise, Taz,
but it's not like they captured the imagination of the city. It's not like people were walking around wearing Rutgers hats.
No, there weren't people running around going, War Eagle, down
correct.
Alabama or Auburn.
The same thing rings true when you talk about college basketball. Now, when St. John's is good, St. John's, there's a lot of fans for St. John's basketball in New York City.
I remember years ago, man, like big when they were like...
When they were legit.
It was hot.
Yeah, when they had Walter Berry and Chris Mullin.
Oh,
even after that, when Mike Jarvis had that team going, they had Ron Artest and Bootsy Thornton and
they
Eric Barkley. Omar Cook. I mean, that was they were a really good program.
Overall,
Taz, you know, people aren't locked in to St. John's or college football, college basketball or college football
like they
are down south, right? So I guess my question is, when you look at name recognition, we look at Alabama, you know, when the frustrating angle to me is, when do you just start to, if they want to tell me, well, we're going to go look at it week by week and everyone's resume is being judged and
we look at
everyone like, you know, like a new season every single week when we're doing these rankings. If that's the case, how do you come off that game Saturday at home where Alabama loses to LSU? And I understand how good LSU is.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And then you say, well, what I saw there, they're a top four team in the land. Maybe offensively they are.
Right.
But at one point in time, they were down, I mean, they were down 33-13 at home at the halftime.
I was at the AW show. I was looking, and I was watching the game over Arn Anderson's shoulders. Yeah, I was actually, and I'm like, man, they're really getting smoked here. I couldn't believe it, and everybody in that room, and JR was in that room. Everybody was rooting for LSU, except JR. He was like, I got no dog in the fire. I like to see Alabama win because he's OU Jones, but that's a whole nother story. Just to circle back on something for people that are not familiar with the Tri-State area, to what you said, Moose, about college football in this area. Some people might be listening if they're living in Lincoln, Nebraska. Maybe they're living in somewhere in a small area of Nevada and had never been on the Northeast. And say, what about Syracuse? You guys have Syracuse. So I don't think people realize that Syracuse is way upstate.
4 hours away.
Yeah, it's way upstate New York.
Yeah.
It's not part of the Tri-State area.
And that's 4 hours with no traffic.
Right. Exactly.
You know?
Yeah, which you're going to hit.
Right.
So, no, I'm just saying, some people might think.
Yeah, right. And think about
Syracuse, they still do the thing with their New York's team. Not really.
That was the old athletic director.
That's
they got
Buffalo
rid of that.
Bills do that now.
Yeah, right. They know.
Yeah,
well, but. But they did. They put up billboards and everything like that in New York City. It just didn't play.
No,
I mean, it just didn't.
Difference.
I mean, but you're right. I mean, But my point being with the whole Alabama question
is
they're sitting there at five, and I think they're sitting there on five based on past achievements, not what they've done this year.
Right.
Well, I don't think they're the fifth best team in the country.
And Tua's got a lot of attention. Well, it might be dying down a little, but Tua was the right or wrong. I mean,
no doubt.
Hype Jones. I mean, you
no
know.
Doubt. But it, Taz, I'll tell you, is you mean to tell me, okay, for argument's sake, if I'm just judging two programs based on accomplishments, Minnesota hasn't accomplished more this year than Alabama has?
They have.
Yeah, they have.
I hate to say it. That's tough to even put people understand what we're saying, but they have.
But they have. If I'm going to judge it just based on week to week, Taz, Minnesota, I'll tell you, I'm not telling you that I think they'd actually beat Alabama head to head. That's a different story.
Right.
But if I'm looking at the resume of the program,
right.
I think Minnesota's accomplished more than Alabama has.
I am not going to argue with that.
You know, I think Oregon, as we just went through, I think Oregon's accomplished more than Alabama has. And I don't want to nitpick and just poke at Alabama here. But
no, we're not Alabama haters.
No,
We're not
at all. But the point being is that if you're looking for all these programs to continue to progress and grow and get better, you can't continue to just give the Alabama and the just the benefit of the doubt. They didn't give Clemson the benefit of the doubt week one, and people were outraged. And you know what? We said we think Clemson should be at number five. They sit where they sit. You know, they probably are the fifth best team in the land. Now worked out. Alabama lost, and Penn State lost. Penn State dropped precipitously in the. But my frustration is, how do you expect these other programs to continue to progress and get better? Where even if they go undefeated, the one loss team that's a recognized established program is still getting the benefit of the doubt. When do those programs get the benefit of the doubt? How much more? What is Minnesota? They just beat Penn State. Nobody, you and I, we never thought they were going to beat Penn State.
No.
And they no. led that game pretty convincingly. Why doesn't Minnesota get the benefit of the doubt?
Yeah, I know. And it's because, and I know it's a rhetorical question, but it's right. They're Minnesota. And they're in the Big Ten. I like Big Ten football. I always have. They're 6-0 in the Big Ten. They're first in the West of the Big Ten. They're 9-0 overall. Okay. And now that they're coming up on going the road against a tough Iowa Hawkeye team that's 6-3, Iowa is tough at home at Kinnick. They are tough at home.
You're right.
They really are. And I know you cover Big Ten a lot with Rutgers, so you know where I'm going.
Yeah, Iowa's a good team.
Yeah, no. So if they
and they
can
are
go,
very difficult at home.
They are,
right.
dude. They are. If Minnesota, if they can go into Kinnick and beat Iowa, right now people are definitely buying into Minnesota for sure, and you should. They're sitting now at 8, which is a nice jump for them. But, you know, they win, and let's say, for argument's sake, I mean, you know, somebody else above them loses. I don't know who would lose. Probably not Oregon, definitely not Alabama, Georgia probably not. But I'm just saying, like, you got to look at Minnesota more and more each week. They could win out here.
Oh, they could. You're not wrong about that. And that was that they could. I mean, Fleck has done an amazing job. He really has. I mean, there's no question about it, Taz. I guess I don't want to get all kind of hot bothered when you look at these rankings because you still got a ways to go. Not all that long, but you still got some time to go here in the college football regular season. Cool. I guess I get frustrated because I'm looking at it and I look at Alabama and I just don't think this Alabama team is that great of a team. I think they're good.
Yeah.
I think there's things to like about them, but I don't think they're all that great. I mean, and you could have a Minnesota team where it's at Iowa, at Northwestern, and then home versus Wisconsin. If they beat Iowa, Northwestern's a terrible team.
Oh,
they're going to destroy Northwestern.
Yeah.
And then it's going to come down to a home game at Wisconsin. If that team's sitting at 11-0 on November 30th, taking on Wisconsin, if they go 12-0 in the regular season, Taz, there should not be a debate in terms of where they sit in these college football rankings. There really shouldn't be.
Mm.
They should continue to move up the rankings, no?
No, I totally agree. And I do think, you know what we got to do when we come back? Maybe we can have a little chat about Clemson, too.
Let's do it.
You know, they're sitting there at 3. We got to talk about Clemson a little bit. We got a lot to cover with college football. We got the little baseball action going on. We got about 5 or 6 guests today. 10 guests. How many guests we got? Nine?
Two guests.
Two guests.
We got Kenny Clark from the Packers, Ralph Russo College Football.
I thought we had like 8 or 9.
No, we don't have 8 or 9 guests. We don't have that long of a show. We only have 9 segments.
People know what I mean. The people here know what I mean.
I know.
Yeah.
Yes, I know.
Inside Joe Jones.
I know.
Not really joking, just more anger.
Don't be angry. Let's have a good show.
Oh, we're already having
it's
a great
Taz,
show.
It's Taz. It's Moose. It's a Wednesday morning right here, CBS Sports Radio.
Give Taz and the Moose a call. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Yes, and CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on your car insurance. Taz, you brought up Clemson. Yeah. Want to get into them a little bit, as they're now the number three team in the land. A perfect 10-0, and one thing you'll see about Clemson is this, is they're starting to take teams behind the woodshed. You know, they were up, I believe it was 28-0 after the opening quarter this past week against North Carolina State. I think they led the game 42-0 at the half. They absolutely destroyed. Now, the Wolfpack aren't a particularly good team. We understand that. But they're starting to find their rhythm a little bit here for the Clemson Tigers, for Dabo Swinney.
That's our guy. That's our friend.
That is our guy. Joined us last year after the national championship and the like. And Goodman's done an unbelievable job with that program.
He's the man. Yeah.
You know, we talked about motivation. Certainly Clemson looked ticked off.
Yeah.
And played ticked off this past Saturday. Now they move up, as you would expect, after the losses by Penn State and Alabama. They move up to 3, and they're starting to find themselves and starting to resemble the Clemson Tiger program and the Clemson Tiger team, even though the names have changed, some of them, mind you,
right,
that we have seen here the last 3-4 years.
Yeah, no, I agree. And they definitely have. I mean, they play some cupcake teams, too.
All
these teams do, but you're right. They've got some dominant wins on their schedule. It's the ACC, and sometimes people will scoff on the ACC. And they got Wake Forest coming up right now. Wake Forest is a good team. They're sitting at 7-2, but they're going to get smoked by Clemson. So Clemson, yeah, they could. They're another program that looks like could definitely win out for the most part, I would think, right? If I'm looking, they got Wake Forest, and they got South Carolina, right?
Yeah.
Who am I missing? That's it. And that's the end of the regular season.
No, that's
right?
It. They only got two games left.
Two games left in the regular season, yeah.
Yeah. So they, their bye week comes late. Their bye week comes Thanksgiving week, the 23rd.
Right.
As most teams have had their bye, or some teams have even had double byes, as it's, a 14-week slate in order to get those 12 games in. The knock on Clemson, as you hit upon, is the ACC. They're
right.
The only ranked team.
Right, yeah.
In
yeah.
the entire conference. And they're the number three team in the land. And you mentioned,
I'm 25. App State is in there.
Right.
25.
Yeah, so they're
that's
the
a good point.
Right. That would be the knock when you look at the Clemson Tigers. Now, there's teams that are winning in the ACC. They're all doormats, but they're the only ranked team in the ACC.
I didn't realize that until you just said it. I'm looking. You're right. Look at the list here. You're right. They're the only one.
Yeah, so that's where you talk about, when you talk about strength of schedule, and people are going to say, well, you guys are knocking Alabama. But look, I mean, who the hell's Clemson beating? I understand that. But I also don't necessarily believe, and you and I are in agreement here, Taz, I don't think the SEC has three of the top five teams in the country.
No.
I think that's a little top heavy when you look at Alabama, Georgia, and LSU, three of those teams being in the top five in the nation. Mm. I don't necessarily think they deserve that. I'm not saying Alabama needs to be 9th or 10th or 11th or 12th, or that Georgia doesn't deserve to be in the conversation. I think they're in the top five. But we talked about Minnesota and Oregon, and you can even throw Utah into the mix. I think there's more of a competitive balance this year than maybe years gone by.
Yeah, I definitely think there is. And like we said earlier, there's no debating who number one is. LSU deserves
that.
They're the most well-rounded, most dominant team. And speaking of well-rounded and dominant, look who just walked in here.
Yeah, Andrew Bogut.
Yeah. Thought that was a gut reference.
Well, here's the problem. Speaking of gut, I wanted to get Moose. You don't know what happened. No one here knows because I didn't share it with anyone, but I'll tell you, Moose. I'll direct it to you because you're the co-host.
Just me.
Okay. Yeah, I actually thought we were going to talk about Clemson after Andrew, but that's okay. We didn't communicate well. That's fine. Offline.
Well, it's fine.
I wanted to go on and on about it.
We can go on and on. We got time.
So anyway, I was going to go into...
You got all the time in the world.
I was going to go into Starbucks.
Until 9 o'clock.
I was going to go into Starbucks.
You know what I mean, Bo.
And I was going to get... I wanted to get a little muffin, like a little sugar top muffin.
Wife.
Like one of those little muffins, like Sugar Top Jones, whatever they call it.
Yeah.
You know the ones I'm talking about? With a little sugar on it, chunks of sugar?
Yeah.
What is that? Like blue? What is it? You know what it is, anybody?
Sugar muffin.
No, a blueberry. Like a blueberry crumb?
Yeah, something with the sugar chunks. I like that.
Oh, the...
Blueberry crumb. And I'm walking down the street, and for those that don't know, here in New York City, it's friggin' freezing today.
What, you see a rat?
No rat. I don't sweat rats. And it's really, really cold. Like, really cold.
A Poland Spring bottle of urine.
No, it's cold here. I'm trying to let people know in Florida or California how cold it is here.
Yes.
So it's really cold. So I'm all, you know, I got all my hunting gear on. I got my camo on. I got my winter hats. Right. I got my gloves. I come up. I'm fired up. I'm walking. I'm like, I got a nice hot cup of coffee with my famous thermos with me. And I'm going to get this muffin mousse. Mm. I'm getting a sugar top muffin.
Mm.
And as you know, Moose, this Starbucks here is a giant glass window. So what I do is, as I'm approaching the Starbucks, I survey it. I see who's in there.
Mm.
And do I want to go in there? Do I not? That's my gimmick. There are certain people that I don't want to see, because a lot of people that early in the morning that work in this area or this building or on this floor go in that Starbucks.
They do.
And I'm not the most sociable guy that early. Who do I see between the glass? Andrew Bogus.
Nice. Good for him. Getting a cup of coffee.
You know what I did?
What's that?
I made a right.
There.
I did not go in.
You did not go in.
A little too much to deal with that.
Nice warm fuzzy feeling.
A little
too Wednesday.
Much to deal with Andrew.
Why? You don't have
hey, how are you, pal?
This is Andrew Bogus.
Best of friends.
It's a little too much. Because he's over the top. He knows I'm not into
So why don't you do a mobile order right now? I'm sure Mikey B will pick you up your muffin.
Well, because I probably don't need the muffins. A lot of calories, so it's called discipline. So, I mean, I knew I shouldn't have ate this anyway. Mm. So I once I saw Andrew, I'm like, you know
what?
It
was a sign. It was a sign.
You're welcome.
You helped my waistline.
Yeah, you're welcome. It's a really roundabout way of thanking me for helping your life. But I accept your thank you, and I appreciate it.
You're telling me you guys don't survey the glass. That's
no,
what I call
it. If I want a cup of coffee, I go in and get a cup of coffee.
I'll survey.
Yeah, I could see Mike survey. Yeah, you're surveying. Yeah, right. I'm not, yeah. So if you see our boss Mark Chernoff in there,
yeah, I'll go get a cup of coffee,
getting like a hamper.
If I want a cup of coffee,
you're
gonna
go in there
get a cup of coffee.
Not me.
It's you know, it doesn't mean you have to sit there and strike up the most heartfelt conversation. You
can I don't want any communication, nothing until I have a microphone in front of me.
I'm well aware of that.
That's how I am. You know that.
Yes, I know that. I understand. I would not expect that to change if you entered a Starbucks, even if you saw Bogus or Chernoff or Bisegla. The one person that would change would be Bilotti. He'd walk in the room. You guys would be talking about wrestling.
He's a really close friend of mine.
He'd practice grips.
Grips.
He'd throw him to the ground.
It's okay, but
Starbucks would never know.
Venti dark roast drip. Hang on, Pete. Let me get you.
Bilotti would reminisce about 1960s wrestling.
He does do that. Like he goes way back.
Oh, he
sometimes.
Goes deep. I know. He's the wrestling historian on CBS Sports Radio. Where does that get you? Not so sure, but he is that.
But he's the guy. I followed the new Twitter yesterday. Rarely I do this. Rarely I give someone the rub. But I followed Pete. You might be following. It's called 80s wrestling.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm on that. Yeah.
You follow it?
Yeah.
I just started following yesterday. Where have I been? I
mean, that's where they have the great pictures.
I'm not just in the business, I am the business. Let's be honest.
They have like the great photos, right?
Yeah, that's
yeah, the Macho Man.
Yeah, they got all guys.
Yeah, you know, it's great.
Greg Valentine,
yes,
Snake Roberts.
The Hammer.
Yeah. The Hammer. That would be a good nickname for Andrew Bogus if he was a pro wrestler. The Hammer. Andrew Bogus.
Mm.
I don't know if that's
classic
fits.
Toy Hammer.
Not when you compare him to Greg the Hammer Valentine.
No, I knew Greg. I knew Greg. Greg would whoop
Greg had
Andrew's
like
ass.
Basically the Iron Man's chin.
Yeah,
too.
No, he did. That square jaw.
Yeah, that square jaw.
He was a tough SOB.
You started calling
man.
Him the Hammer.
I knew Greg, but tough dude. He would. There's no way Andrew could beat up Greg Valentine.
No, of course not.
No way. I mean,
he's
Andrew,
the Hammer.
He would beat your ass. He probably still could.
I love how everything has to come down to a fight. Like Bogus came on and made some declaration that he would kick Greg the Hammer Valentine's rear end in his prime, which he never said. He's like, he would beat. Yes, that's his job.
I know.
I would imagine Andrew Bogus, who's never wrestled in his life, I would imagine that would be easy prey.
Yeah.
Who's Andrew also 5'9".
Beat him in an update off.
Maybe. He could read. We don't know.
Listen, you're right. Most sometimes I do that. I think of everything as a brawl. I just got out of the wrestling business. This is why. I mean,
No, that's not true. That's not true. Come
well,
on.
Well, I'm back in now. I
understand
quasi,
you're back
you
in.
Know?
No, I understand
so I'm ready,
that.
I'm ready
but,
for fighting.
Well, nobody, it's the defensive nature when it comes to wrestling. Like, we're all challenging guys' toughness and manhood.
That's how the locker room is.
I understand, but we're not in a wrestling line. Right. Bilotti's your buddy because he's very approachable. You talk wrestling, you reminisce, and you never feel like Bilotti could ever challenge a wrestler.
He wouldn't. He couldn't.
No.
None of you people could, to be honest with you. I hate to be rude.
We're missing the money here, though.
What's the
money? Greg Valentine doing updates. That would be...
Now, that's money. That is money.
That is. That's good job.
That would be great. See, those are the things that Pete Bilotti, and I talk about.
Bilotti, that is not true.
He's a creative director, this guy. He's untapped talent.
That is not true.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah, he does impersonations.
Bilotti's right now updating the world on Charlotte Flair's whereabouts in India. She's making an appearance.
Yeah, I didn't know that until Moose told me.
That's yesterday's news.
Wow. See? This is what you got.
But here are the things that Moose checks on Twitter, apparently.
Oh, I follow her on Twitter. I like Charlotte Flair.
We had her on as a guest.
I know. Yes, I understand that.
So Moose covers all the guests here. He makes sure that...
She had a hoarse voice and all.
She did.
She sounded like she was under the weather. Very tired, exhausted.
Yeah, yeah, but you keep on grinding.
But she did a great job.
Keep on grinding, just like we do here every morning, 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern. Keep on grinding. Bogus is here. Bogus, what's up?
Thanks, Taz.
Grind away, Andrew. Happy Wednesday.
Hey,
Go ahead, Andrew.
Guys.
That's your cue. Take it away.
And here's your report. It is sponsored by the NFL, who invites fans to participate in Huddle for 100. Fans are encouraged to volunteer by getting out, getting active, and improving their local environment. Visit NFL.com/Huddle for 100 to learn how you can get involved. Evansville men's basketball, not verified on Twitter. Maybe it's time for the blue check mark after last night at Rupp Arena.
Maxi with 4.3 seconds, elevates on a three. It's an air ball, and the Aces have gone the road to Rupp Arena in Lexington, Kentucky, and stunned the number one Wildcats 67-64. They shut college basketball on this Tuesday night. What a win for Coach McCartney and his return to Kentucky.
As heard on the Evansville Radio Network, former Kentucky star Walter McCarty is the Purple Aces head coach. Kentucky had won 52 in a row at home against unranked teams.
I just want to say it's actually a natural segue for anybody. You know, we have a lot of wrestling fans listening to the show. We're just talking about wrestling. Now you mentioned Evansville, you know, and it's this crazy victory that happened. You know, very big history with pro wrestling in that little town, to be honest with you.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, for those that are wrestling fans.
Like just, what?
No, there is, because the Memphis territory... Okay, would run wrestling there for a lot of years. Back in the day, so there was a lot of wrestling through Evansville. I worked there years ago.
Okay,
yeah, there was. Yeah, it was actually. I'm not saying it was a hotbed. Pete the Body made a face like either he passed wind or he threw up in his own mouth. What's your problem?
I'm just listening. I'm listening. I don't know too much about it.
Yeah,
he doesn't agree with you.
That's the face he made.
He thinks you're wrong.
No, it's 6:35 in the morning. Pete's just trying to get himself going a little bit, rev the engine.
Do your research, Pete. You know, you might think you're an expert. Okay, as you sit home like a mark. Okay, but I actually laced up the boots and busted my body up.
Here we go.
God, let me stop. Let me
I didn't you're right. I'm about to sitting here.
Here we go.
I know, you're right. You're right.
Yeah.
Tell Andrew to go ahead. Tell Andrew to go. Because
I'm just going to turn my back to the show.
I'm tough control room.
All right, I'm Andrew Bowe.
Here we go. I'm doing the Andrew Bowe.
Smart move. The college football playoff.
But great win for McCarty, who's on one of the most talented Kentucky teams. That 96 Kentucky team was absolutely loaded. Tony Delk, Ron Mercer, Walter McCarty. That team was that took down Syracuse in the national championship game at the Meadowlands. So good for Walter McCarty. That's a hell of a win.
What's the historical nugget of that Final Four, the 96 Final Four?
That's the last arena Final Four. The last time.
Wow.
Yes. That's the last time. Because the tickets were so obscene on the secondary market. The Final Four was Mississippi State, Syracuse, UMass, and that was Calipari and UMass with Marcus Camby, and that was Syracuse with John Wallace and Syracuse, Otis Hill, J.B. Reefsnyder, Lazarus Sims. But that was the last arena. I had guys, when we were up at Syracuse at the time, we had scalpers literally waiting outside of halls, of living halls, up there.
Really?
In Syracuse.
That's awesome.
I got offered, me and my friends got offered $5,000 apiece. For our tickets.
Ooh, I would have taken that.
Yeah, for a college kid?
$5,000.
Here you go, sir.
Yeah. we got offered $5,000 apiece. So we had, I think me and six of my buddies, we each got strips to the Final Four. And you had a run right after they got to the Final Four. You had a run, get a wristband, and then they drew a number to when then they started to get tickets. And we all got tickets, which was great. Basically, immediately after that, and I think it had to do a lot with Kentucky and obviously and being in an arena, but you had scalpers all over the Syracuse campus.
That's
I'm sure
crazy.
It was cased down in Starkville, Mississippi as well, Mississippi State and Lexington and Kentucky and and UMass too. But last arena Final Four, that was it, out at the old Brendan Byrne Arena.
Yeah. Which it's amazing that you hosted a Final Four.
Yeah,
that building.
That is crazy. You're right about that. That's true.
The college football playoff rankings. Now
I didn't want to bring up. I'm not allowed that I actually wrestled in
that
building.
We assumed that you wrestled in every building we discussed.
Right. I actually have.
No, I actually have, Andrew.
I know you have.
Well, then we can't talk about anything else other than we don't want to harken back.
Oh, wrestling tyrants. It's bad.
For the Nets played years.
You know, I normally...
And the Devils,
that's right. I normally don't bring up wrestling ever on the show.
No, never. And you'd forget who you were most days.
I wish I could forget sometimes. I think you guys wish you could forget sometimes.
No.
But that's okay. We all remember. That Final Four, I painted my face blue and orange.
Oh, no, you're one of those.
I did.
Oh, no.
Is there a video of this somewhere?
No, please. I think there's a face.
You're like, what's his name? From Seinfeld. Devils!
I did. Well, I did. So, you know, after, yes, yeah, I know what you're talking about. I know what you're talking about. So, when, funny story, though, I was in the men's room watching the, after the Syracuse won their game. This was the semifinals, the national semifinals, washing the paint off my face, right?
Now, Weova's going to take this, dude.
No,
you
so
have no idea what's going to happen.
I look up, and who's behind me? He goes, can I just wash my hands? Billy Baldwin.
Get out. Oh, my God, that's funny.
I'm like, yeah, sure. Sure, you can wash your hands.
This blue and orange acrylic like paint nice, all over the
he's
sink.
He's like, nice face paint. I'm like, thanks. Congrats on the win.
That's funny.
Oh, man. I'm like, backdraft was great. Thank you very much.
Why did you wash it and make sure you washed it off when you went back to the gimmick, to the room?
No, because...
You're going out.
No.
So what?
Yeah,
you go out and on.
No. It was a bedroom. It was a sink.
All right. I got you.
It was a funny story. Looking up, so, hey, there's Billy Baldwin. Looking and wash his hands as I'm using the sink. All right, funny. Andrew, you got
LSU number one, Ohio State number two, Clemson number three, Georgia number four, Alabama all the way down to number five in the new college football playoff rankings. In the NBA last night, Bulls rookie guard Kobe White went nuts in the fourth quarter against the Knicks.
Josh finds Kobe again. He's got 99 problems, but scores that one, Neil Funk.
That's Stacey King and Neil Funk on NBC Sports Chicago. Mm. White drilled 7 threes in that fourth quarter, 27 points total in a 120-102 Bulls victory. The San Francisco Giants hire Gabe Kapler as their new manager, Mike Schilt of the Cardinals, Rocco Baldelli of the Twins, your managers of the year. And now I'm done.
All right, thank you, Andrew. Get into the latest news surrounding Colin Kaepernick as one step closer to the National Football League. Is he? We'll find out. We'll discuss. We'll talk about it. That comes your way next. It's Taz of the Moose on this Wednesday morning right here, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, time right now to ask the pros, where you, the listener, get to ask us a question. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros. Submit your question. Be listening later on the show. We might answer your question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Can guarantee low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices. Every single day. So it's been a while, obviously, and since we've seen Colin Kaepernick in the National Football League playing quarterback or on a team, and we've been down that road in terms of the conversation, the reasoning, and you know the lack of reasoning in terms of why he's not in the NFL. And we both said, you know, he should be in the NFL. He's one of the top 64 quarterbacks in the country. And on Saturday, he's going to get the NFL's arranging a workout, a public workout for NFL teams where he's going to work out down in Atlanta. He didn't want to do it on a Saturday for some reason, but it's going to be on a Saturday nonetheless. And I understand other teams have, you bring guys into workouts all, throughout the course of the week. So, maybe they could have done it during the course of the week, but it's going to be on Saturday down in Atlanta. Teams are going to have an opportunity to, see Colin Kaepernick go through a workout and also interview him. We'll see, who's there, who's working them out. We'll see the conversations and if Colin Kaepernick gets back into the NFL afterwards.
I think it's interesting. I personally think it's good. I mean, and Kaepernick, he tweeted that he's looking forward to the opportunity and stuff like that and seeing all these GMs, whoever GMs are there and coaches in, in Atlanta. like you said, it's a pro day at the end of the day. That's what he's doing. It's basically a pro day. If you think about it, that's what he's doing. I mean, it's ready to see a guy his age. What is he? Early 30, like 31, 30 years old, whatever the heck he is. He's pretty young, I know, but like in football world, he's like 31, 32. That's what he's doing. You know, it's a pro day for a guy that's...
Do you think it's a publicity stunt?
He's 32, by the way. What's that?
Do you think from an NFL perspective, I'm not talking about from a Kaepernick perspective, I'm talking about from an NFL perspective, do you think for them, and maybe publicity stunts the wrong terminology.
I get where you're going.
But do you think it's a case
like a feel-good, not feel-good, like, you know, doing the right thing,
well, doing the right,
feels doing the right
well,
thing.
Well, saying it's not our fault
right,
if he doesn't get signed.
Right.
We gave him an opportunity. Now, yeah. It's obviously, we're looking at, I mean, a lot of time has passed, Taz, sure. since he suited up and played for the San Francisco 49ers. I mean, you know, so it's been a large amount of time. He's not signed on, latched on with any other team. And we've gotten to the rationale and reasoning why. I guess my thing is it's a scenario where the NFL is setting this up. Do they do it for any other player? No. They have not, you know, I don't think they've ever done this for any other NFL player or ex-player or a guy trying to get back into the National Football League, right?
Right,
I mean, those
right.
guys are kind of left to their own wherewithal in order to try and work their way back into the league. Now, Kaepernick has tried that. It hasn't worked. Is this the NFL kind of saying, well, you know, obviously there was that lawsuit. That lawsuit got settled, you know. Is this a case of the NFL trying to kind of put it out there publicly? Well, we set this up for them. If nothing happens now, we did right. all we could.
We washed our hands, but it's out of our hands.
It's yeah. out of our hands. If a team doesn't sign them now, what do you want? What else would you yeah. like us to do? We can't do anything else. We provided a forum for him, for teams to come. One spot, Atlanta. You know, send some scouts, send some personnel guys, send general managers, whoever the hell you want to send. Watch him work out, interview him, talk to him, see where he stands, see if you want to bring him aboard. But if no one decides to sign him, you know, we did all we could.
Right. Yeah, I think you might be right. I never thought of that, to be honest with you. But, and you know, the NFL is going to have an agenda with a lot of stuff. I mean, so it's like for them, for a political perspective, to feel like they did the right thing, like you kind of alluded to, that the NFL washes their hands with it. If no one picks him up, that's on his performance on that pro day. I'm going to call it a pro day because I feel like that's what it is.
Yeah, it's kind of what it is. Yeah.
He came in the league, what was he, like 20, I think he was 24 years old. He came in and he played 6 years, I think it was, for Niners. So, I mean, you know. Like he hasn't played in 3 years. I mean, so we'll see what he's got. He's kept himself in great shape. I believe him. I believe he has.
Yeah.
So
well, there's been those videos with him working out at 5:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
Now videos are videos. I get it. But yeah, I think Kaepernick's in good shape. You know,
yes, I agree with you, and I think he's yeah, I do. I'm just wondering, just from a football perspective. You know, when you're at this thing for 3 years and you're playing quarterback, the speed of the game, it's tough to replicate that while you're training. You know, the speed of these guys coming at you. But, I mean, no one's even gotten to that part yet, like, as far as the football part of it. You know, let's see how he is. I guess that just want to see how he works out.
And that's the other question, Taz, is not only does he have the hill to overcome as far as the distraction hill. And this is not a matter of, you know, everyone has a right to free speech and everything like that. But NFL teams want to minimize distractions, right?
Sure,
I mean,
sure.
So there's the whole angle of the interview process, but then you hit upon it as well. Where is he? I'm not talking about day in, day out life, walking around.
Right.
I'm sure he's in peak physical condition.
I'm sure he is.
But there's a difference between being in peak physical condition, walking around, and doing everyday things as compared to, or just being a great former athlete as compared to playing quarterback in the National Football League.
Yeah,
I mean, we're talking about a night and day difference.
Yeah.
There is a distinction there. You know, how much has he lost in terms of being away from the game as long as he has been away from the game for?
With guys coming flying at you that are 8, 9, 10 years younger than you.
Yeah.
Okay, defensively, that are flying at you. Every year, if you guys think this is an overstatement, anybody listening to the show, every year the speed of the NFL football game gets faster and faster.
No question.
It's a fact.
You're right.
So you know, every year you're out of it, you're slowing down, right or wrong. You know what I mean? Out of it 3 years. So.
And Taz, when you haven't done it in a while,
that's what I mean.
You slow down even more.
The reaction, especially as a quarterback.
Yeah.
It's not like he's playing defensive line or an offensive lineman where he's just going to muck it up a little bit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see. And a storyline to follow all weekend long is that workout down in Atlanta is going to take place on Saturday for Colin Kaepernick. We'll come back. Sign stealing in Major League Baseball. Huge story in the Athletics surrounding the Houston Astros and their 17th title run. Get into that next. Taz Moose, CBS Sports Radio.
Are you looking for a podcast about pro football that doesn't put you to sleep with an avalanche of analytics or insult your fandom with brainless hot takes? Well, hi. I'm Dan Hanzus.
And I'm Mark Sessler.
Oh, hi, Mark. And we're the hosts of Heed the Call, the NFL podcast you've been waiting your whole life for.
Heed the Call covers every game, every storyline, everything that matters, and we do it all with a touch of mirth.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast wherever you get your podcasts.